Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Whatever you had racing through your mind, whatever you have going on, whatever last night stung you and you still got it rattling around and you're still playing the tape, cut it off. Whatever you got going on after this, either later on this evening or tomorrow, stop it, cut it off. Part of our worship, a big part of our worship, is just saying, Lord, this is your time. This is your time. Speak to me fresh. Use your word. Touch me. Show me. This is your time. So y'all ready for that? Y'all ready to worship? It's the most gracious thing in the world that God says, put all your affection, your love, all your heart, mind, soul, and strength on me. Man, that saves us from lesser things. It saves us from heartache. And we have that opportunity now to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's do that. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for allowing us to get up, move on, have a new day. It's yours. Right now, this is yours. Father, we know it's so much more than that. Worship can never be condensed down to 1 hour or an hour and a half, depending on the sermon, a week. But Father, we do give you this. Not as if it's ours, it's yours, and we just return it to you. And say thank you. Thank you for our life. Thank you for this time. Speak to us. We're yours. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's worship together this morning.
You've got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking. Chains. He's a chain breaker. Ooh. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice and the same old lies, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life.
Thank you.
That a bunch of sinful folks who don't have our stuff together. You might have fooled somebody thinking you've got it put together, but let me speak on behalf of all of us. None of us have it together this morning. But I know the one who does. And we have the awesome opportunity as we come here as sinful people looking at this holy God made flesh, King Jesus, our resurrected King. And we can come and we can celebrate what he's done for us. We can look back as we celebrate in communion that this is what he's done for us. But here's the good news. It's not a past tense situation where he did it and it's over. We have this awesome opportunity to look what he's still doing for us and in us today. And that one day our resurrected King, just like when he rose up from the grave on the third day, he is coming back for his people. Amen.
Moon and stars, morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon
we that if Christ is not risen from the dead, we are much to be pitied. Praise God, we are not to be pitied today. That the same power that rose Christ Jesus from the grave is the same power that lives on and moves and breathes in his people today. That same Holy Spirit power is there and is here and is going to continue. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ.
Right.
Man, wasn't that good? Man. I was singing with it, and I was hanging with it, and I was lifting my voice to God, and I was happy about it. But then somewhere in there, I wasn't trying to compete with Shauna. I wasn't trying to do that. But somewhere along, my voice started to go high, and I realized that there's some things you just got to leave to the professionals, you know, type thing. I got to stay in my lane. And thank you, Keith. Anyways, wow. Y'all, I'm not trying to influence what your favorite song is, or we're not going to have a vote or anything like that. But let me recommend something. No matter what song you're singing, no matter what song we're using to worship God, when the resurrection of Jesus Christ comes up, don't treat that regular. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can just sing past those words. You can just kind of see them and hear them. But don't ever forget the power of our God in raising Christ from the dead. Because, man, by His resurrection, we're justified in the resurrection. I mean, the resurrection is what enables us to have a relationship with God. Not just a lot of people do that clean slate. Well, God gave me a clean slate. Now it's up to me to keep it. Well, that's baloney for a lot of reasons. He didn't give you a clean slate. He forgave your sin forevermore, and He made you a son and daughter through Christ because Jesus is alive. This ain't a clean slate thing. This is a come into my house, live with me forever because now you're my child through the living Christ. Man, we got a living intercessor. We have a living Lord. Has it ever occurred to you that a dead Savior can't save? No how? You know what I'm saying? You can't do nothing. If you run out of gas in a cemetery, you're still going to have to call somebody other than the residents. You know what I'm saying? Because a dead Savior can't save you anyhow. 90s class, ready, break. Sorry about that, 90s class. They started pointing around back there jumping. Y'all missed that. Bert's going, and I thought, what did I say? Golly, I've blown it already, and I haven't even got into the sermon. You know?
You're doing good, John.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to be in John chapter 13, talking about our Lord as He ministered on earth, but remembering that Jesus still ministers today. So when you get into the resurrection, when we sing about how Christ is risen, man, that's not regular. That's not regular. Celebrate it. I'm going to read the word, and we're going to look at how He ministered. And then as we take the Lord's Supper, we're going to be grateful that He still ministers today. Verses 21 through 38, John 13, 21 through 38, says this. When Jesus had said these things, He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom He spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom He spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he had said this to him. Some thought because Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you? Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow, till you have denied me three times. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for just everything about coming together as your church, singing your praise, hearing your word. Would you please now, Lord, direct our minds, our so easily to wander, get distracted minds. Would you direct them to Jesus that we might look at him in awe and worship him in our heart and long to follow him and be where he is and to just, again, be thankful that he continues to minister today. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 points, essentially, before we take the Lord's Supper. Jesus ministered in his troubles, and he ministered in his strengths. Okay? Somehow or another, as the church and as Christians, we only want to do things when we feel strong about it. We only want to do things in the perfect environment with the perfect atmosphere. And if it's not like that, we have a tendency to take up our marbles and go home. Like, I ain't going to do that. You know what that church is? You know what they said? You know who goes there? You know what they're like? Yeah. My first point, Jesus ministered in trouble. And can I tell you, Jesus didn't have his own troubles. He wasn't like us. He wasn't late on rent. He wasn't worried about the car starting. He wasn't all those things. When Jesus was troubled in his spirit, like it says here in this scripture, it says when Jesus said these things, he was troubled in his spirit. It had to do with those people who were around him. You know, it had to do with looking at what was going to happen with them and who it was and different things like that. And he was troubled. But we get no inclination that he was going to quit because he wasn't surrounded by the cheer squad. Because he wasn't surrounded by the cheer squad. Let's look in this passage. He is surrounded on the front end of these verses, verses 21 through 30, we get to hear about Satan and Judas. And from 36 to 38, we hear about Peter. Y'all, that wasn't the strongest group. That wasn't the strongest group. Jesus was standing there and he says, it's time. All these things are going to happen. And in the upper room where they're having the Lord's Supper, where they had just finished, it's a beautiful thing. Guess who was there? It says Satan entered Judas. Man, I wouldn't want to be in a small group where I know Satan just entered somebody. I wouldn't want to be up in the church house where the enemy, you know the word Satan? What it means is adversary. It means adversary. Y'all, the Bible is the only source really you're going to find that says there is a real, sure enough, spiritual adversary. He's not equal to God. He's not powerful like God. He's not omnipresent. He's not all-knowing. He's not all those things. He will be judged. Nonetheless, he is the enemy, and he was there. Y'all ever try to be vulnerable when the enemy was there? You ever try to get real when the enemy is there? You ever consider stopping when there's opposition, persecution because the enemy is there? I mean, this is sure enough. I don't know that, again, Satan's not omnipresent, so he can't just be over here and over there whenever he wants. He roams to and fro looking to start trouble. Well, he was there in the upper room when they were about to have the Lord, when they finished having the Lord's Supper. He was there. But Jesus didn't stop because Satan was there. And no matter what he's going to do, we ought not stop just because he's there. Now he looked at Judas. He said, one of y'all going to betray me, and we get down to it, it's Judas. Can I tell you this? Judas was not Jesus' enemy. The Bible tells us our enemy is not flesh and blood, but the spiritual powers of the air. Judas wasn't the enemy. When I think Jesus looked at Judas, he was troubled because he knew what Judas' role was going to be, and it was happening, it was there, and he felt bad for Judas. But Judas was a traitor. Think about it. This is a group of 13 people, including the Son of God and Satan. You want to be in that group, one of them being a traitor? This is not the perfect setting to do ministry. Jesus is troubled in his spirit because of these, what was surrounding him. Who was surrounding him? But can I tell you again? Y'all, look at Christ, see that he continued on in his trouble, and take heart. You know, we like don't ever want to do or say anything again unless we know everybody's on our side. We're going to get that attaboy. We're going to get that attagirl. Come on. Come on. Oh, what you said and what you did was so good. And people, you know, melting and falling over themselves and being flattering. But what happens if somebody's just, it ain't their role. They're going to be standing against you. Do we quit? Well, whether we do or not, Jesus didn't. And I'll be honest with you, my point really isn't to say be strong like Jesus. My point is this, look how strong Jesus is. I'll let him work on y'all being strong like him. Look how strong he is. Satan was there. Judas is betraying. What about his right-hand man? What about Peter? Was he a source of strength? Peter the rock? Was he a rock at that moment for the Lord? The Lord who in hours is about to have his face punched, spit on, beard pulled out, crown of thorns, nails, die. In hours from this meal, here's his right-hand man. Is he going to be there for Jesus? Like, got you, man. I got your back. He's not. You remember that story in the Old Testament where Moses is holding up the staff, and as long as he held it up, you know, Israel won the fight against the Amalekites, but then when he went down, they'd lose, and so Aaron and Ur got on the sides of him. They held his hands up. They gave him a rock to sit on, and they held his hands up, and they supported him, and Israel won the fight. Man, what a great time for Peter and John to grab up the Lord and say, Lord, we're with you. We're praying you up, man. We got you. We got your back. Isn't there a time that you wish the support squad would have come in and supported you in your trouble? You was going through all this mess alone and you're like, where's the people there to hold up my arms? Where's my support? Where's the prayer warriors? Where's the casserole dish? You know, where's the love? And it just wasn't there. Well, wasn't there for Jesus at that time neither. Peter should have been. Jesus had told him he was going. Jesus told him what was going to happen. Peter refused to accept it. He refused to accept what Christ was going to do. He refused to accept what he was going to do. And I just want to advise all of us, myself and all of us, don't argue with Jesus about what you're going to do and not going to do. Peter says, I'll lay down my life for you. Can you imagine looking at the Son of God who knows and saying, will you? Will you really? Let's talk about that for a moment. Remember, he didn't stay awake in the garden to pray. I ain't dogging Peter. I'm just like him. Again, I'm not trying to tell you how to be strong. I'm showing you that Jesus was strong. I'm preaching Jesus. He didn't have somebody holding his arms up. He didn't have somebody bringing him the casserole dish and doing all those things. He had Satan there. He had a traitor there. And his right-hand man was fixing to deny him three times before daylight. What about the rest of the group? How are they doing? They was just right up there. This is what it says about them. The disciples looked at one another perplexed about who it was of whom he spoke. Like, you remember in the other Gospels, they all start asking each other, is it me? He says, somebody's going to betray. He's like, is it me? Can you imagine? What was that saying? They didn't know. They're like, I guess I could deny you or betray you. I'm not really sure. The whole rest of the group just insecure and perplexed. This is where Jesus is making, he's starting a movement here. This does not seem like the crowd you want to start with. Perplexed. Deniers, traitors, and an adversary. So what does it mean? To me, it means this. Jesus ultimately says, I'm going to go with what I got because there ain't nobody like him. And whether he's troubled in the spirit when he looks at us, he ain't never going to stop. You may think, just like these disciples, when Jesus looks down on us, he's troubled. There might be times when we give him occasion to trouble. Lack of faith always makes Jesus say, why? You a little faith. But can I tell you something? Even if he looks at you and he's troubled, he will not stop. He will not stop being who he is. He will not stop being the Savior and the Lord. He will not stop keeping you secure. He will not stop what his mission is. No matter what, Jesus doesn't stop just because he's troubled. Now, after Judas leaves, we see Jesus pouring on some strength. He doesn't only minister in his trouble, but he ministered in his strength. 3 points of strength. Just number one, who Jesus is. Y'all, again, this is not a self-help sermon. We get to a certain point in Jesus' life, and there's things that we can't necessarily imitate. There's things that we just got to look at Jesus and say, wow, you're my Lord and you're my Savior. There's none like you, and I worship you and I need you in my life. When it comes to glorifying God, we can scratch and run and try and strive, and we ought to. It's a good goal. Ain't none of us going to glorify God like Christ glorifies God. You want to bring glory to God? Bury yourself in Christ. Let your life be hidden in Christ and you'll glorify God. God's not glorified by the amount that we accomplish or how large we become and or about the things that we put away and walk away from in our sinfulness, the things we embrace in the holiness. That's all fine and good and we ought to do those things. But when it comes to glorifying God, no one does it like Christ. Not because of what He did, but because of who He is. He says it's time the Son of Man is glorified and God is going to be glorified in Him. You and I can do all that we can do, but we are ourselves and He is the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And when He followed His Father's instructions in obedience to death and even death on the cross, God the Father said, because of this you are highly exalted, and to you every knee will bow, to you every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. No one else was qualified to do what Christ did here. None of us, in all our efforts, even together collectively, will glorify God like Christ glorified God. So, is it to say, well, I don't want to bring glory to God? No. We want to bring glory to God. How do we do it? Bury your life in Christ. Lift up Christ. Be open to Christ in you, the hope of glory. His strength. Jesus had a power and a calling unlike anyone else. Verse 33, He has to tell His disciples they've gone with Him as far as they can go. He says, "A little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. Now I say to you." There's a time when Jesus leaves His disciples and He goes on and does what only Jesus can do. Again, He's hours from the trial, hours from the flogging, from the persecution, from the cross, from death. He's only hours. Y'all, listen to me. Again, we might say, well, there's a time when we go through stuff on our own. There's a time when there ain't nobody to help us and we just need to rest on God. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus did these things, the things that pertain to the cross, there ain't nobody that could help Him. There's no one who could lighten the load. There's no one who could be next to Him. There's no co-redemptrix. There's no co-redeemers. There's no, you know, co-signers for a loan that He used to ransom our soul. It had to be Christ alone. That's it. He told His disciples, you're going to look for me. You're not going to be able to find me because the place where I go now, you can't go. I have to go there for you. And you can't come with me. I've got to do this for you. And I got to do it alone. Men, this is not a self-help sermon. It's to point out the strength of Jesus. He set His face like flint, the Bible says. He would not be dissuaded. He would not be tempted away from the cross. Think about what Satan had done to Him early in His ministry. Tried to give Him an easier, softer way. If you'll just bow down and worship me, all the kingdoms of the earth and your glory will be yours. Jesus wouldn't be tempted away. He wouldn't have His sympathy for His friends stop Him. He said, y'all going to be here. I've got to go on. He's the only one that could, though. He's the only one that had the power. In chapter 10, He says, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to lift my life back up. That's our Jesus. He has a power like none other. He also has an authority. His strength, when I think of Jesus' strength, it's not just ability to lay down his life, to take it back up, but it's authority. Y'all, Jesus has some authority to him. He says, I give you a new commandment. How bold is anybody here that they would say, they would lay down as a commandment from God, you'd lay down a new commandment for all people? You feel that bold? I mean, in our country, we have a process, a legislative process of making laws. But can you imagine somebody saying, I have a new commandment from God to give you? Who can do that? Who could do that? I was reminded, this is a little bit offbeat, but I was reminded last week looking at quotes, and I came across a quote that I was familiar with. I probably can't quote it right exactly, but I had seen it before, but it sticks in my brain every time when we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. And it says this, Christians are obligated, essentially, it says Christians are obligated to follow the commands of God over the traditions and commands of men. I want you to think about it. Just put it in there. What he's saying is God's will, God's commands, always overrule man's. So it don't matter. If an immoral law is passed, y'all listen, we're under a higher law. If we're and we have accepted a lot of immorality and laws, but y'all just keep that in mind. There's one who has authority, a highest authority. There is a highest court, and it's not the Supreme Court. There is a highest official. There's a highest executive and king, and it's not the president or any other king or any other body. And when there's a conflict between the laws of the land and the laws of the Lord, we, his people, choose the laws of the Lord. Does that make sense? The early church was born in a place where they had to call the head of their government Lord, as if he was the supreme God. There was Caesar worship, and they had to declare Caesar was Lord. But Caesar wasn't Lord to the early church. There was no Lord to the early church except for Jesus Christ. And if you think it's a small thing, so many believers lost their life by saying, I will not offer a sacrifice and declare that Caesar is Lord, but I will stand on Christ alone and say, He is my one and only Lord. Y'all, we got to be a tough people and know that Jesus alone has the authority to give a new commandment. The new commandment he gives, he says, love one another as I have loved you. That sounds like an old commandment. God had commanded us to love his people to love each other way on back. A lot of people get confused and think the God of the Old Testament was a mean God. There wasn't no God of the Old Testament and New Testament. There's only God. And he has given us his word. And in the Old Testament, he told them to love each other. To love your neighbor as yourself. It's repeated throughout the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is that really white section of your Bible where no sunlight or fingerprint has ever diminished. You know what I'm saying? It's that part. It's difficult, but read it sometime. You know, if you want to know what Christ died for and how he fulfilled all the sacrifices that God said, if you want to know about the work of Christ, read the book of Leviticus and realize this. Christ was sufficient for everything mentioned there. It's really good. But that commandment doesn't sound new, but the standard is new. Love one another, not as you love yourselves, but as I have loved you. Woo, he just raised the bar, didn't he? I mean, we've just entered a new ball game right here. This is a new arena. Love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved us? Oh, yeah, unconditionally, undeserved, sacrificially. It's that word agape when he says love one another like I've loved you. That's the word he's using. This is a fervent, strong love. A love that says, I will put you above me. I'll sacrifice for you. It's that kind of love. It's a grown up, sure enough, full bodied love. Peter says it's a fervent, like a hot love. That's how we're supposed to love each other. Jesus has the right, He has the authority to raise the standard. And He says, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to love like I have loved. And if you think it's a small challenge, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and everywhere it puts the word love, you put your name. John is patient. John is kind. John does not get puffed up. John does not parade himself. John keeps no record of wrong. Somewhere John is full of baloney if he keeps reading that with his name in there. Because John falls awful short of what biblical love that is personified in Christ really is. And I'm going to tell you something. We sang a song earlier today at the Foundry. It says, I need the strength of God to keep His commands. I need the strength of Christ in me to keep this standard. I'm convinced of this. I'm never going to grow up into a point where I can love you as Christ has loved you without myself fully submitting to Christ in me and He loving you through me. I have to have a living relationship with Christ to keep this command. I can't hone my skills to the point where I can do it on my own. I need Him present with me, working, living, and loving to do this. This ain't me. It ain't you. It's not even us. But if we will surrender to Him and allow Him to love through us, look what happens. He says, all people will know you're my disciples then. Not just because we're acting like Jesus, but because Jesus is living in us. It's not just because we're following Him. It's that He's flowing through us towards one another. Y'all, I don't got the will to overpower my will. But God does. I've proved that over and over again. I ain't going to tell you how many times. Not as many times as Keith has in his own will in life, but I've done it a lot. You want to talk about overdoing your will? Say the word diet and mean it. You're like, why can't I diet? Will you? No. Jesus ministered when He was troubled. Jesus ministered in His strength. But y'all, Jesus still ministers today. And we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And it's in the Lord's Supper where we recognize that the sacrifice that He gave of Himself so long ago is still effective for us today. Still effective for us today. The body that was broken for us. Is broken for us. The blood that was shed is the blood of the new covenant. Who has the authority to give a new covenant? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody saying, I would like to announce there's a new agreement between God and man. I'll just take one off the top of my head. You got to visit a certain place in the world at least once in your life, make a journey there. You got to pray five times a day to a certain direction. You've got to give a certain amount of money. You've got to say some statements, and you've got to give to the poor. And let's just say I made up out of my own head, maybe even demonically led, to come up with five pillars of faith that's going to come to be some kind of connection between us and God. Bottom line is this. I don't have the authority to define the covenant that exists between God and man, no matter how much I would try. Don't matter. Don't matter if I lived in a cave. It doesn't matter if I gathered plates from under a hill led there by an angel with a strange name. Wouldn't matter. I don't have the right to define the covenant between God and man. I don't have the right to change morality. I don't have a right to edit His word. I don't have any of those rights. And neither do you, and neither does anybody. But when Jesus says, this is the blood of the new covenant, He has the right. And the new covenant isn't anything you do, anything you say. The new covenant is literally the blood of Christ shed for our sins. That's the agreement. And that's the only way. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be here and we're going to look at John chapter 14. And He's going to say, there is a way, there is a truth, and there is a life. And no one comes to the Father but by Him. Yeah. He's the covenant. He's the one. So when we take the Lord's Supper, what we are declaring is that Christ died for me. And it's a witness that we proclaim until He comes. And I belong to Him. So Before we do that, a couple housekeeping things, because we're about to take the Lord's Supper. I need some help. I always ask LG if he'll help. And Mr. Johnny, I wonder if you'd help. And Jason, I wonder if you'd help. All right, so I got my help. That was the first housekeeping thing. Second thing, we're going to have just a short prayer. If you don't belong to Christ, not Christ Community Church, you don't have to belong here to take the Lord's Supper. But you got to belong to Christ. Okay? I don't have no way of telling whether you do or not. That's you. That's your job. If you belong to Christ and you know it, you're welcome at the table to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Everybody, don't matter. Don't matter if you're from another church, no church, wherever you're from. I don't care. As long as you belong to Christ, you're welcome to partake. Okay? If you don't belong to Christ, there is a warning in the Scripture. And I feel compelled to tell you. It says, some have taken in an unworthy manner. And I don't think that's speaking of immorality. I'll get to that in a second, though. I believe that's somebody trying to do something religious as if they belong to Christ, but they don't. And it says they have fallen asleep and they're sick. Meaning there's been some repercussions because they have falsely partaken publicly in the Lord's Supper. So that's your warning. If you don't belong to Christ, ask Him to save you and take the supper. Or just don't. Okay? Does that make sense? I'm trying to be real open and accommodating. If you're a Christian here and you're a sinner and you've sinned recently, welcome to the club. If immorality was going to keep us from Christ, Christ wouldn't have left us throne in heaven to come to save us. With that being said, if God is dealing with you with a particular sin as we're about to take the body and the blood, and you realize Christ died to take away from the sins and He paid the punishment for the sins that I'm indulging in currently, and it bothers me, I'm going to give you a time to make that right and repent. If after that time you still feel like you don't need to take the Lord's Supper, refrain. Just refrain. But don't you let insecurity in your own flesh, and don't you let the enemy suggest this. You're not allowed to take this till you're perfect. Because when would you have to wait? You just come back when you're perfect, okay? Take this time to do business with God, and then we'll have the supper, okay? Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to be here. And Lord, I pray right now, if there's any who don't know You, I don't know what they're waiting for. You know. I know that You're not waiting. You're ready. You're ready to save those who call on Your name. You're ready to make born again those who will embrace You by faith. Not trusting in their own works, their own strength, their own ability to somehow be worth it. But simply throw themselves on Your grace and Your mercy. For by grace we are saved through faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You and your house. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And you will be saved. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who's not saved that they would get saved. For those of us who know You, who have been saved, who have been brought in the family, but we have dirty feet. Father, right now, I ask that You would be with us and You would wash our feet. I can't imagine asking my Lord to wash my feet, but I know there's no other way. Father, help us to be repentive. Help us to drop the bad, embrace the right that You've laid before us. How can we do that without You? How could we do that without drawing close to You? I don't know. So, Father, for Your weary, often misguided, sinful saints that You've called to be Your children, Your family, help us and lead us. None of us are perfect. But we're here. We're looking to You, the only perfect one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever business you need to do with God, just do it. Believe me, he's not embarrassed. So if you need to pray, pray. You might say, well, there's all these people. So, you know, there's going to be people everywhere all the time. It's just like Jesus wasn't in the perfect scenario in the Lord's Supper in that upper room that day. But maybe it's your time to do business with God, even if you don't necessarily feel like it's the right time. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm going to ask these guys to come up. And we're going to demonstrate how we do the Lord's Supper. And we're going to have two lines. They're going to come down. When you come down, you'll have a little... I hate calling them shot glasses, but that's all I can think. You got these little baby shot glasses. And there's grape juice in them. But there's little containers over here where you can throw them. You'll come, you'll get the bread, which is legit. We got some historical accuracy thanks to Miss Kit. And this is unleavened matzo bread like they would have had back in the day. This is Jewish matzo bread. This is the real deal, what Jesus would have broke and shared. Okay? So Lord, we thank you for the body that was broken for us. As we share it, again, we just give you thanks. Jesus, at the end of the supper, she has this little bread out here for me. I forgot. Well, I always like to do that. Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And I always, you know, when something's broken, you rarely can get to tell how it's going to break or if it's going to hurt or if it'll be usable again. Think about God handing his life over to men to break his body. How humble, how loving, how extreme, how radical is the love of Christ. Anyway, he takes the cup after supper. As we've learned here, many of us, every cup during the Lord's Supper service had significance. The cup after the supper represented redemption. Redemption means bringing back something that was lost, bringing back something that was cast out. Jesus holds up the cup of redemption. And he says, this is the covenant, the new covenant in my blood. This is the new covenant in my blood. Y'all, he has authority on earth to forgive sins. He had authority on earth to walk on water. He had authority on earth to heal sickness. And he had authority on earth to say the new agreement between God and man is in my blood. Not the blood of bulls and goats and sheep and every other thing. Not in the commandments that were, you know, of the Ten Commandments. Not in all those things. Not in the conditional, if you keep these, then you'll be mine. It was the blood of Christ is now the new covenant between God and man. That's it. Lord God, thank you for your covenant, for the blood of Christ that just takes away our sin. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. When you come down, you'll come to the bread and then the cup. Jason, his body was broken for you and his blood was shed for you because he loves you. LG, his body was broken for you and his blood was shed for you because he loves you. His body was broken for you. His blood shed for you because he loves you. Y'all, when you come, I mean, there'll be, I don't know if we have music. If not, I'll sing. Which is a way of me guaranteeing they'll get some music. Just know he did it for you. We're not doing this for him. We're not taking this supper for him. We're doing it in remembrance of what he did for us. Does that make sense? All right. Y'all come. It should work. There we go. These things work a lot better when you turn them on, and that's just something I've found over my years. All right, we're going to take up an offering. Y'all, the offering at Christ Community Church is for our members. I mean, if somebody feels compelled to give, you can, but we just want you to know we rely on God working through the members of Christ Community Church and what we receive. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to give from a sense of worship. And Lord, we do worship you. There's nothing that we have, not our life, breath, possessions, anything, that we have a right to not be thankful for. You've given them to us. Help us, Lord, to be the stewards you'd have us to be of them. But right now, we return a portion in thanksgiving and worship. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. for a band that knows. Attention to Jamie. He's the distinguished slender man back there.
What?
Slender?
Slender man?
Slender.
Yes, they call me Little John.
Little John. He's my skinny counterpart. It's right there.
I used to call him Little John, but... Yeah. Hey, y'all, it's a really cool opportunity today. Y'all know we did this last year. Up here on the board, you got envelopes numbered 1 through 100. And so what we did last year is we just asked everybody to take 10 or 20 envelopes each and, you know, whatever, and just grab one and whatever number's on there, you put the money in there, hand it back in to either me or Miss Sarah, and that's Miss Sarah right there. And then all of that money goes to Fuse. The really cool thing about this year is we've only done 2 fundraisers so far. After this one, if all the envelopes get turned in and all the chocolate money gets turned in by Wednesday, we will be 100% fully funded for 50 people to go to Fuse this summer. So, yeah. That's never happened before, so that's really awesome. And so last year, I led by example. I grabbed the 100 and the 99. This year, Jesus said, leave the 99 and go for the 1. I'm just kidding. But it felt like last year we did let the little kids get the lower numbers. That way they could fill a part of it too. But we did have several people that took one and didn't turn it in last year. So we were about $1,000 short of what we should have been. I never told y'all how much it raised because we didn't raise all of it. But if all these envelopes get turned back in, it's a little over $5,000 it gets turned in. And so inside of this, it says number 100. So like I'm going to write my name on here and turn it in to myself, so that I know who's got which one. So if you're going to take one, if you will, I've got my, I was going to say lovely assistants, but I don't see them anywhere. Oh, there they are. Y'all, come on, lovely assistants. Oh, that's a lie too. My bad. I repent, Lord. They're going to hand you a pen. They'll hand you whichever envelope you want. And if you'll just put your name on there, if you're going to put the money in and hand it back now, that's fine too, however you want to do it. But we want to thank y'all in advance, man, for giving and helping these kids out, because this is, I promise, it's worth every penny of it.
What's the date it's due?
And the date it is due is 3 weeks from today. And I have totally forgotten what day that is, but 3 weeks from today, if you get it back by then. I'm not saying we did it around tax return time on purpose. I'm just saying it just happens to be tax return time. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, go ahead, man.
Awesome. Hey, be a part of something good. You know, don't just complain. Young people are like this. Young people are doing that. Be a part. That's all I got to say about that. Love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Pray us out. Lord God, thank you for loving us again, we've said. Can't be thankful enough. Thank you that our Lord Jesus not only died for our sins, but rose from the dead to welcome us into the family of God. Lord, show us your strength. Give us courage and help us to continue on. Live in us that we might follow your command of love like you loved, that people might know who you are. We give you all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break!
Thank you.